I still remember our wedding day. I still remember our engagement. I thought of maybe telling you our engagement story, but I'm not going to do it because it's too long. Okay, but it was so romantic. That's all I want to say. It was so romantic. I went down on the knee, stretched out the hand. She said, yes, of course. She jumped on me. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, it wasn't really like that. Up on this road, you know where the waterfall is? You drive past the waterfall when you go up there. We walked up there. It was actually cold evening. The weather weren't playing along. It was cold, and she was tired and moaning all the way. How far? And I'm just like, shh, it's going to start rain. We need to hurry. And she doesn't understand what's happening. So we got engaged there. Got married 6 months later. But it's still fresh in my mind, okay, because it's only a year and a half later. If you, like maybe some of you, I'm not going to look at anyone, if you are married 25 years, then some people has this ceremony where they renew their vows. They come to each other again, they invite the closest friends, it's quite intimate, and then they actually know what they're doing for the first time. Okay? Because on the wedding day, the first time, you have got no clue what wedding and marriage is all about. You just think, listen, I'm going to love this woman. She's not going to know what either. That's how much I'm going to love her. And then you see, listen, it's not that easy. Okay? It's not that easy. You can ask her as well. It's difficult to put up with me. I'm a difficult man to please. Not really. But then they have the ceremony where they come together, they invite the closest friend, and they again renew their vows. They say, listen, again, how much I love you, and I've just realized in this past 25 years that I've made the right choice and that you are the one for me. There's only the one. There's one, and that's you. And in a sense, I want us just to do that to the Lord tonight, to renew our vows, to think of the covenants that we have, or the covenant that we have made with Him, and what that implies for our lives. What does that mean if we say? And I want to start with, there's only one relationship which the Lord knows and understands, actually. And that is covenant relationship. That means, for those who don't know what it means, that means the biggest form or the highest form of covenant that we have is marriage, which isn't that strong anymore these days. But that's what we see as covenant. But the Lord sees covenant as a place where I'm willing to lay my life down for you, and you are willing to lay down your life for me. That is covenant love. That is the place where we sacrifice ourselves for the relationship, because that is what He did. God sent His only begotten Son, John 3:16, so that whomsoever might believe can have eternal life. If we believe, we can have eternal life. We can be with eternity with Him. So He only understands covenant love and covenant relationship. That's why in Revelation He says, listen, if you are lukewarm, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. He doesn't understand halfway. He doesn't understand commitment that's not full out. He only understands covenant relationship. And obviously, the Lord has grace with us because we need to grow to that place. If you are a new believer, you just came to salvation, you are not willing to lay down your life, even though you think about that, or you think you are, but you quite quickly see that, listen, I'm not that bright. I'm not that full of faith, because when stuff happens, circumstances happen, I start wavering. The Lord has grace for us to grow to a place where we are covenant and in covenant relationships. Okay. So first of all, because God only understands covenant, that implies a few things. The first thing that implies is the following. I'm not going to preach long, because I want us to minister to each other, okay, and just worship the Lord. We're going to take some communion, but I want to get to the practical ministry part where we pray and pray for each other and just bring our hearts before the Lord again. The first covenant, most important covenant, Matthew 26 says it, 22 says it very nice. Yeah, 22, Matthew 22, sorry. Matthew 22, 36, verse 38. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? The Pharisees came and asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the great and first commandment. This is covenant relationship. God is describing covenant relationship to us. He's describing to us, that is what I want from you. I want your soul, I want your body, I want your mind, I want every single part of you, every breath of you, I actually want that. That's how much I desire relationship with you. So first of all, covenant relationship is where we just give everything to God. We just say, Lord, I want to give you every single thing, every last breath, I want to give that to you. And I want you to remember tonight and think back the first time when, the day when you actually came to salvation. Can you still remember that? The day where you first gave your life to the Lord? Can you? Can you remember that? Revisit it and just see that excitement, the way you responded, the way you felt afterwards, the way you were just amazed by the love of God. I remember the first time when I think got saved, or I got born again. I don't actually know what happened there. We were at a standard 5, grade 7 these days, Landsdienstkamp. We were praise and worshipping. There were people lifting up their hands. I came from Almesbury, so I thought that was very strange. I just looked at them like this. Didn't understand what this... Must I also do this to be holy? Didn't understand this. Didn't see it at all before. And then after this praise and worship, we went out of the hall and I don't know why they did this, but they burned a cross, actually. They burned a cross. And we all just stood beside the cross. No one said a word, but the Lord's presence was there. It's for the first time I experienced His presence. I cried like a girl. Really, I couldn't stop crying. Some of the girls in grade 7 are that, yeah. It was actually humiliating. They came to me and asked, listen, are you all right? Are you fine? And I said, yeah, good morning. And I remember that evening going to bed with a smile on my face, lying like this. Because for the first time I experienced the love of God, because religion can never give you that love. I experienced that love. I experienced His presence. I had no clue what happened. No one preached at me. No one actually told me what happened, and no one followed me up. That's why for a week or two it lasted, and then it faded away again. But that was the first time, and I still remember the feelings. I remember the second time as well. I remember at Stellenbosch where they invited me to Shofar. I said, listen, crazy people, I don't want to go, but I'll go. Stood like this. Some people dancing, some people jiving. Momersbury again. Sure, I'm not used to this. But then at the smaller function, F1, I said, Lord, I want to give my life to you. And I still remember that feeling. And I want you to remember tonight that feeling, that first love. And there's some of us that must return to that place, that initial place where we said, Lord, everything. In that time, you usually, your response is you just love everyone. Just love a tree, just love someone, just love everyone. Hey, life is good. Because everyone can see it on your face. I heard a quote this weekend. I think Sias actually said it. He said, if you are in love with someone, the whole world knows about it. Is it true? If you are in love with someone, you tell everyone. You tell everyone. Okay? You tell everyone. If you are in lust with someone, no one will know about it. So are you in a loving relationship with the Lord or in a lustful relationship with Him? If we are in a loving relationship with Him, how do we test that? It's easy. Are we obedient to His commands? Do we obey His commandments? Do we obey the simple instructions that is said in the Word? Repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, go and make disciples, worship me in spirit and in truth, give your life to me, love me with all your heart, all your mind. Do we obey these commandments? It's not about a set of commandments and rules, please. But do we obey the Lord when He speaks to us? When He says something in the Word, do we react on it? Now, I want some of you to remember the last time the Lord spoke to you. Can you still remember the last time the Lord spoke to you? And what He said to you? And actually, what did you do about that? Did you follow it up? Did you go in obedience and say, Lord, I'm going to do this? I experience you telling me this and this and this, and this is what I'm going to do about it. That is loving the Lord with everything that we have. Saying, Lord, we've got covenant with you. We want to give you our lives. We want to give you our everything. You know how serious the Jews were about covenant? They didn't have contracts like we do. Okay, they went on their word. That's why Jesus said, let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. They stood back to back against each other when two parties wanted to make a covenant. They walked in a circle 8. Sure. Weg. Away from each other. And they meet each other face to face again. And on the way, in the circle 8, there was usually dead animals, which they cut in half before the time. It was dead chickens or birds or whatever. They literally took it and packed it like that. And what they did is, while they were walking in the circle 8, they were saying the vows of the covenant. They were saying the do's and don'ts of the covenant. What do I agree to? What do I don't agree to? And then when they came face to face towards each other, they said to each other that if I break this covenant, what happened to these animals can happen to me. That's how serious covenant is. Okay? And that is the same that covenant that God had with Abram. He actually, Abram went into a deep sleep and he actually had covenant with himself. The burning fire and the vuurige oond and die vuurige fakkel and die brandende oond. Okay, God actually made covenant with himself to secure our salvation. But that's how serious the Lord is about covenant. That's how we know covenant. The only way. Okay, so first of all, our covenant relationship with the Lord is very important. We should return to our first love. If we've lost that love, if it's grown cold, if our hearts are hardened, then we say, Lord, we want that love again. And you know how easy it is? You just repent of your sins. We're so stubborn sometimes with pride and don't want to tell people. Just walk in the light. Say, Lord, I'm sorry about this. I've done this again. I want to experience your love again. It's not worth it to stay in sin and to stay entrapped in stuff. The second thing which comes out of this covenant is John 13, 34, verse 35. Or just 34 I put up there. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. In the Old Testament, Jesus said, listen, love one another as you love yourself. In the New Testament, he says, listen, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is a very high standard. Okay? This is a really high standard. To love other people as Christ has loved us. This is the basis for covenant relationships between friends, between a man and a wife, is that we love each other the way Christ has loved us. How has Christ loved us? He's laid down his life for us. He's given us everything. He's making a way for us to come to him and to know him. He's done everything for us. And that's the way we should love each other. That's why Jesus cannot stand. It's the only time when he says, listen, while you are worshiping me and there's unforgiveness in your life, leave your offering at the altar, go to that person, make it right, and then you can come back. Because he doesn't understand that kind of relationship. He cannot tolerate unforgiveness. That's why I say, listen, go back and go and sort that out, and then you come back and then you worship me. Because out of this relationship with God, where it's covenant, where we say, Lord, we love you with everything, flows a love for other people. If you don't love people, you cannot say you love Christ. If we don't love people, we cannot say we love Christ. If Jesus is born inside of us, there will be a desire in us to love people. There will be a natural inclination to love people. You will be drawn to people. You'll pray over people. You'll want people to experience the same thing. So the second covenant relationship is that relationship that we have with one another. Okay? If everyone's still with me, it's this relationship. We talked about this one. Now it's this. This is covenant. We need this covenant. We need each other. And why do we need this? Because we need accountability. We need people to speak to us and in our lives and say, listen, this and this and this. This can't be happening. I need Reinhard to tell me, listen, Gilly, go harder. Go harder. Seek the Lord for this. And he does it, and I love him for it. Okay? I need my wife to say, Gilly, you're full of pride. Stop this. I need that. We all need this. usually my response isn't that good initially, but then it's fine. We're growing in that love. But we need accountability. We need each other. And I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this, so just hang on. I'm going somewhere. We need each other. We need to walk in the light. Okay? That's why I said we need accountability. You know, the blood of Jesus only comes into effect or comes into working when we walk in the light. Do you know that? Reinhard Bonke says it so nice. He says, listen, how many dirty people are there in the world? A lot of dirty people. Is there enough soap for them to wash them? Yes. So it's because they don't apply the soap. They don't actually wash themselves. It's the same with the blood of Christ. It's this easy. If you don't apply the blood of Christ, it will not cleanse you. If we do not walk in the light and confess our sins, we will not be cleansed. That's why we need each other. We need to walk in love. We need to walk with one another. We need that covenant relationships. And that's why we do small groups. That's the only reason why we do small groups. Because you will have someone in your small group which irritate the living hell out of you. I promise you. It will happen. It happened to me a lot of times. There will be someone that push every single button that you don't want to be pushed. And he will irritate you. And you will have to learn to love this person. First year of marriage, the same thing. Two worlds coming together. You must learn to love one another. I'm sorry, my wife. I mustn't take our marriage as the example the whole time, but it's practical. We learn to love one another. When we are 25 years married, I know all the stuff. And she knows everything of me. Don't bother Gilly while he's doing this and this and this and this. Because we know one another. We grew to love one another. We grew into maturity. And you know what? That is the only way we can grow into maturity. You know the danger, can I say that? Danger of internet and information is that we can download every sermon from every preacher around the world. Okay? You can be in Joseph Prince, Bill Johnson's, everyone's church from South Africa. You can actually listen to every Sunday sermon. But what is the one thing that lacks is that there is no intimate relationship. There is no impartation. And you know the only way there is impartation is when we live life on life with each other.